Luke describes for us a scene in chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, which we can try and picture together for a moment on a calm, moonlit night on the Sea of Galilee as the ship with Jesus and his disciples land in Gentile territory on the other side of the lake, near this area described by Luke, the country of the Gadarenes, verse 28. And the night is calm because in an awesome display of his mighty power, the Lord Jesus had calmed a raging sea and a windstorm. Peace be still, and he'd calmed them by the powerful word that he spoke. The disciples had been with Jesus in a boat that was close to sinking. Waves crashing in, water coming into the ship. Caught in this violent windstorm. But at the word of Jesus, the winds and the waves obey his will. And then there was a great calm. So the Sea of Galilee has become smooth like a sheet of glass. The disciples are filled with awe and wonder. They know they're in the presence of someone who is more than just a man. Nature recognized the voice of its creator, its king, obeyed him. Who is this? They ask. Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. But then as the boat makes its way across the sea, and as it nears the shore, the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples would have heard the shrieks and cries of a demon-possessed man. And the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples are shortly going to meet legion, possessed by demons. Now today, just as in the first century, most of those who turn to the occult, usually young people, most do so in the hope of finding somehow supernatural forces to further their own ends, often to gain some control over their chaotic, wounded lives. But the Bible is very clear. The appalling reality is that evil forces are malevolent, destructive to human beings, hostile to God, the devil, the demons, the powers of darkness. It is a terrible thing to dabble in the occult. So if you're fascinated by it tonight, either by the media or by a video game or by a book, the Bible says repent, turn away from it. There is great destruction and danger waiting for anyone who embraces the spirits of death connected with the occult. Playing with Ouija boards, fortune-telling, palmistry, horoscopes, seances, visiting a medium, channeling, all sorts of things today where people dabble dangerously with the occult. As we open up this text tonight, we see, first of all, a possessed man. Legion. What was the cause of Legion's devastation in his life? What had caused Legion to be as disturbed as he was? Luke says, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out on the land, they met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. The problem was the power of demons. The Bible is very clear. Luke 8 verse 30, when Jesus asks, what is your name? The answer comes back, Legion, because many demons had entered him. Now taken literally, the name Legion means 6,000. A legion of Roman soldiers consisted of 6,000 soldiers. And in Palestine, the presence of a legion spoke of unconquerable power. The unconquerable power of Roman military might. So when the demon responds and says, my name is Legion, there's this acknowledgement. Many evil spirits had possessed this human personality. So we can't ignore the plain testimony of the Word of God. Today, many in human arrogance in our society or in damning skepticism refuse to accept what the Bible says. But the Bible is clear. What was the ultimate cause of this man's condition? He was possessed by demons. And it's often been said those who refuse to believe in the devil will end up refusing to believe in God. There are many tonight in their skepticism about the plain testimony of the Bible reject any idea of the fact of a devil, demons, powers of darkness. Beware, the Bible says. There are demons who can invade the human personality, and to deny that is to deny the plain testimony of the Word of God. And Legion, Luke tells us, did not live in a house but in the tombs. On the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee, there is a village now called Kersa, where there are natural and man-made caves that were used as burying places for the dead. It seems this man, this demon-possessed man, lived in those caves with the embalmed bodies and bones of dead people. Now, for a Jew to touch a dead body was to be rendered unclean. So this man's dwelling place symbolized uncleanness, the uncleanness to which this man had sunk. He was cut off from society, cut off from family, cut off from friends. He lived among the dead, unclean. And he was frightening in his supernatural strength. Luke tells us Legion was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. So people feared him. Keep away from Legion. Don't go near him. He's a man with supernatural strength. The devil's champion, Luke says, and he wore no clothes. So all sense of propriety was gone. This wild, uncontrolled, demon-possessed man. And this awful description is designed to show us the destructive nature of the devil and demons in the life of a human being. What were Legion's chances for change? Luke is saying, no one could tame him. From a human standpoint, he had no hope at all. No one could help him. No one could subdue him. His prospects for any change from a human standpoint were nil. Now you may say to me tonight, well, we're a million miles away from anything like this. And then I read about a social worker called Margaret Sangster giving a presentation in which she spoke about seeing a small boy in a sink estate sitting on the stairs of a block of flats. And the youngster had been hit by a car several months earlier. But his parents had neglected to give him any medical attention at all. So although he was not part of her caseload, she took the boy to hospital and learned that through various operations, something could be done to help this boy. And 2 years later, the boy came back to her office where she worked as a social worker. And to her astonishment, he walked in without crutches. And to show how complete his recovery was, he turned a cartwheel for her. I was wondering whether to turn a cartwheel for you, but I thought, perhaps not. And the two embraced, the social worker, this young boy, and Margaret Sangster reported, a warm glow spread through the office when she said, if I never accomplish anything else in my life, at least here is one young man to whom I can point where I have made a real difference. But then she paused in her presentation and asked, but that was all several years ago. Where do you think the boy is now? And because some were caught up in the emotion of the moment, they made suggestions, a teacher, a doctor, perhaps he'd even become a social worker. And she paused, Sangster said, no, now he's in prison. In prison for one of the worst crimes a human being can commit. She said, I was instrumental in helping him to know how to walk again, but there was no one to teach him where to walk. See, where are you walking tonight? Are you walking with Jesus towards heaven? Or are you walking with the devil towards hell? Towards death and destruction and despair? Where are you walking? You see, human effort alone will not provide the deliverance which we need from our sin, our lostness, our alienation from God. Legion is saying to us, here's the true intention of the devil, the forces of darkness. If the devil could do what he wanted, what would he do to you? He would do to you what he did to Legion. Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. There's the devil's agenda. To steal your soul, to kill, to destroy. The devil's one intention, to obliterate from human beings, obliterate, if he can, every last vestige of the image of God. Aren't we seeing that in our society at this time? Determined that human beings made in God's image, but if the devil could, would be destroyed. Because the devil hates God and he hates you. So here's what the devil will do, if he could. Drive you to the realm of the dead. That you would cry out in madness. This description of Legion, I think, is perhaps one of the closest descriptions we have in the whole Bible to what hell on earth is like. Jesus describes hell. He says, hell is being cast out into outer darkness. So, we are living in a society which denies the existence of God and denies the existence of the forces of darkness and of the devil and demons. But here's what the Bible says. It says about us, Ephesians 2. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And Jesus said to people, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Those who rejected God in hostility and unbelief. So never forget, the devil, if he could, would turn you into something like Legion. Here's the devil's true colours. To steal, to kill, to destroy, says Jesus. Now tonight you may be respectable, healthy, well-clothed, modest, moral, even religious. But the devil will do all he can to keep you from seeing your need of and coming in faith to Jesus Christ. Because the devil's true intention is to take you to the place of outer darkness forever, if he can. So here's this man, Legion, possessed by demons. His prospects for change from a human standpoint, zero. So let's look secondly at delivered. Legion possessed, but then Legion delivered. As we hear about the frightening condition of this man, I can imagine the atmosphere must have been electric as this disturbed man came towards Jesus as they landed on the shores of the country of the Gadarenes. I thought to myself, what was Peter thinking as he saw Legion coming towards Jesus? I tend to think that Peter was thinking to himself, what will I do if Legion pounces on that Jesus? What did Legion do? When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Because apparently, as Legion was making his way towards Jesus, Jesus had recognized, had discerned the demonic influence. Luke 8:29, for Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So as Legion comes towards Jesus, not pouncing on him in a frenzy, Luke tells us Legion fell down before him. Legion fell down before Jesus like someone in the presence of a king. Here's the true relationship between the Son of God and demons. We could say, here's a picture of what's coming on the last day. When every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no doubt about the outcome of this encounter. Legion falls down before the feet of Jesus. It's a picture of the fact that the devil and demons and all the forces of darkness are subject to the word and person of Jesus, the Son of God. An amazing deliverance is brought to this man. This man who's banished from society. This man written off as a hopeless case. Because even when he'd been chained and shackled, he'd broken loose again and again. A man who seemed hopelessly abandoned to the powers of darkness. Jesus delivers him. And when Jesus delivers him, what happens? Luke says, here's Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus. No longer in a mad frenzy. No longer agitated. Screaming and leaping around like a madman. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed. No longer in shameful nakedness. Properly clothed. And in his right mind. Deliverance. Legion. No longer out of control. No longer leaping and jumping and shrieking. No longer cutting himself with stones. Why are we living at a time when there seems almost to be an epidemic, particularly amongst young people, of people cutting themselves? When you turn away from God, turn away from his word and his law and his ways and from Jesus Christ, as the forces of darkness gather control. But now Legion is delivered by the mighty power of the Son of God. The same power of Jesus that calmed that raging storm on the Sea of Galilee has now calmed the storm that was raging in the heart of Legion. Jesus is Lord over all demonic powers. So if we had been there, what would have filled our mind? The point that Luke is driving home is if you had been there, if I had been there, our mind would have been set filled with a sense of awe and wonder at the power and the mercy and the grace of Jesus of Nazareth. Who could help Legion? Who could save Legion? Who could deliver Legion? From a human standpoint, no one could save him. But Jesus could save him. What Legion needed was something beyond the power of just ordinary human power. He needed omnipotent mercy. And that's what he received from Jesus Christ. Omnipotent mercy and gracious mercy. Probably Legion was in this pitiable state by an advanced process of abandonment to sin. What Legion needed was omnipotent, all-powerful mercy and grace. Working in him something he could not earn or merit or deserve. But Jesus had come to destroy all the works of the devil. And comes to us in the gospel tonight, revealing his omnipotent mercy and grace towards us, helpless sinners. And I'm saying, if the Lord Jesus could save and deliver Legion, then he can save and deliver you and me. And the person you think is a hopeless case. And you say, from a human standpoint, the chances of deliverance are nil, but not for Jesus. But you see, there's no sinner who finds deliverance in Jesus who doesn't feel that need. If you think tonight that you're not so bad, you can fix yourself up. You can do it yourself, religion. Who can save you from pride, from lust, from self-will, from the power of the devil? See, there's no one seeking Jesus for salvation if that person thinks that he or she can save themselves. But when you see you need mercy, omnipotent mercy, gracious mercy, that you forfeited all claims to God's mercy and grace You can't earn it or deserve it. But the undeserved favor of God from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered Legion, went on to bring ultimate deliverance through his cross and resurrection. And by his ascension, the Bible says, Jesus ascended far above all principalities and powers. And now all authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. Everything is under his feet, awaiting the destruction of the final enemy, which is death. And you see a preview of that here in Luke 8:31. The demons begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. If the demons were so fearful of being consigned to hell, that should cause everyone to stop and consider their ultimate destination. These demons implored, they begged Jesus not to consign them to the abyss, to hell. So today is a gospel day to cast ourselves upon Jesus' mercy. But those who refuse to do so, when Jesus comes as judge, to hear those terrible words, depart from me, cast into the abyss. Tonight is the day of salvation, Jesus says. Jesus is the Savior you need. And the great message of the deliverance of Legion is that Jesus is the mighty deliverer. So whoever a person is, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Jesus breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. And that's what happened with Legion, and that's what happened with many of you, and that's what happens with all who throw themselves upon the omnipotent mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Legion was a man possessed. Legion was a man delivered. And then thirdly, Jesus restored Legion. Legion was a man restored. There's something the demons who had been destroying Legion's life knew. They knew they couldn't withstand the Lord Jesus Christ. At his word, they would have to leave the man whose life they had destroyed for so long. And with the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ, they enter this large herd of pigs, and the pigs stampede over the cliff's edge and are drowned in the waters of the lake. Now, we don't need to get bogged down in all sorts of questions about animal rights. The point that Luke is driving home is how dreadful this man's condition must have been. But at the word of Jesus, the demons leave. And their uncleanness is demonstrated in what happens. They enter into pigs and are drowned in a lake. The pigs are drowned. The demons await that final word of Jesus when they will be commanded into the abyss, the lake of fire. And Luke is emphasizing here the Gentile nature of the area and of the town by the mention of the pigs. Pigs would not have been farmed by Jews. But here, these Gentile townsfolk then, they pour out of the town to see what has happened to Legion. They hear this story about the pigs stampeding. What's happening? And what they see astonishes them. What a change has taken place in this man. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him. Lord, I want to be with you, said Legion. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Go back to your home. Go back to your own people. Go back to your family. Go back to those who saw most fully what you were before my mighty power touched you and delivered you. And let them see that on every level you are a transformed man, a new man, a changed man, a delivered man. See, when you ask to someone, is their professed faith in Jesus real? What about their life before their family? Your life before a husband, a wife, brother, a sister? Those who are near to you and who can see there's no explanation, this change, something's happened. That Jesus Christ in grace has laid hold on you. It's relatively easy for us to impress people who don't know us very well. It's not so easy to pull the wool over the eyes of family, of friends, of those who are near, people who know your weaknesses, know where you're most vulnerable to temptation. But it's a wonderful thing when that person says, there's no other explanation. Jesus has saved my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister. Here's a great picture, a beautiful picture of the practical fruit that comes from the deliverance, the saving power of Jesus. When those people ran out of town and said, let's go and see what has happened. The pigs have run over the cliff and drowned. They saw Legion is a changed man. He's sitting. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's a new man. Come and see. He's no longer shrieking out and crying out like a mad person, cutting himself with stones. When they saw the transformation in Legion's life, the radical transformation, they knew his deliverance was real. They couldn't see Legion's heart, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's sitting there with a changed heart. His clothing reveals a changed heart. His right mind reveals a changed heart. It's a great picture of the power of the gospel. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm saying tonight, does your life prove that you're a Christian? That God has really worked in your heart and life? Those nearest to you, near and dear to you, they know. Something has happened. Something has changed this person's life. When Jesus brings deliverance and salvation, the proud become humble. The greedy become generous. The drunk become sober. The drug addict seeks help. The foul mouth become clean mouth. The selfish become considerate. The sexually promiscuous become chaste. The adulterer stops that sinful lifestyle, becomes faithful. Those who formerly said, me first, now say, Jesus first. Shows the reality of salvation. Has your life been changed? Now, salvation involves the Lord's imputing, putting to your account the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ to all who trust in him. But you see, saving faith also involves God powerfully doing something in you. Yes, Christ's righteousness put to your account, but something happens in you. There's a change. There's definite, definitive sanctification, and there's progressive sanctification. That change goes on and on and on. As Legion was making his way home, can you picture Mrs. Legion and, if there were any children, looking out because they've heard Legion is on his way home? I saw a picture them in my mind's eye. Perhaps they'd barricaded the windows and the doors. Legion is coming home. What's going to happen? This man who had been shrieking and mad behavior and destructive patterns of life. But as they saw him coming home, what did they see? They saw a changed man. Not leaping like a madman, walking home calmly, in his right mind. No longer naked, but clothed. No longer destroying and destruction, but now in his right mind, a transformed man. Has anyone ever said to you, what's happened to you? Or you've thought to yourself, what's happened to that man? What's happened to that person? This person has changed. I wonder what's happened to him. He's starting to carry a Bible. Something's happened to him. He's starting going to a prayer meeting. Something's happened to her. She doesn't enjoy anymore all the infidelity and swearing that pours out of the TV. Doesn't tell dirty jokes anymore. Something's happened. I wonder if anybody's ever thought that. What's happened to him? What's happened to you? Sometimes people may ask you, what's happened to you? Listen to how the Bible describes this deliverance. 2 Timothy 2:26. Jesus' deliverance, this is what happens, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Something's happened, yes. He's come to his senses. He's escaped the snare of the devil. The devil had taken him captive, taken him prisoner. He was doing all sorts of destructive things. But now he's come to his spiritual senses. Something's happened. He's changed. The deliverance of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious truth. And it's telling us no one is beyond the power of God's grace. If ever there was someone who we'd have thought, well, here's a hopeless case. Nobody can change him. It would be Legion. No one could tame him, but Jesus could. No one could deliver him, but Jesus could. A person may feel overpowered by greed or worldliness or pride or lust or violence. Sin feels like a chain clinging to wrists and feet. But there's no one beyond the power of Jesus. We're not to give up on anyone. Nobody beyond the power of Jesus. Everyone else had given up on Legion. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." When he said that, he knew Legion was on the other side of that lake. And Jesus also knew Legion's situation was hopeless unless he got to him. But if Jesus got to him, what deliverance. If Jesus would speak, if Jesus would intervene, there was hope for Legion. And just as the word of Jesus caused that raging windstorm on the Sea of Galilee to cease, and there was a great calm, so that raging storm in the life of Legion would cease. And for the first time in many years, there would be a great calm in Legion's mind and heart and soul when Legion experienced the deliverance of Jesus. And Legion's heart then was so full of love and gratitude that wherever Jesus went, Legion wanted to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, you go home, that your family can see the mighty change that the grace of God can effect in a person's life." And we know Jesus is a mighty Savior. Whatever someone's sin, past, whatever their present difficulties or problems or troubles, Jesus Christ is able to set the one who feels chained, liberated, set them free. And you go to Jesus in faith and love and obedience. He is a Savior of omnipotent grace, omnipotent mercy and forgiveness. So you may think to yourself tonight, if you're praying for someone, that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter, that friend, that neighbor, that contact, that colleague, is there any hope? And Jesus' deliverance of Legion says, is saying to us all, there's no one beyond the reach of God's mercy and grace. Jesus speaks the word. Jesus, the name high over all, in earth and hell and sky, angels and men before him fall, and devils fear and fly at the word of Jesus. So we cry out, "Lord Jesus, speak that word of power. Set that person free." And as we come in faith to Christ tonight, those who pray like that for themselves can know his delivering power too. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for the mighty power of this Savior. The Savior who saves from sin, from death, destruction, despair. The one who set this man, Legion, free, brought deliverance to him. What a transformation in the life of Legion. A man, if ever there was a man on a pattern of self-destruction, here was such a man, possessed by demons, his name Legion, and yet Jesus delivered him. Jesus set him free. So we are reminded tonight, Lord, no one is beyond the reach of your mighty power and grace. If you will but speak the word, then those who seem fast bound in sin and nature's night are delivered, set free by your mighty word. Oh Lord, speak that mighty word, even tonight, set prisoners free. And oh, may we rejoice in this Saviour, having seen afresh something of his mighty power. And may we know that assurance, no one, nothing in our lives, beyond the right reach of Jesus to bring deliverance. So, Lord, speak to our hearts, each one here tonight and all who listen. And may many know your delivering grace and power and rejoice in this Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. He's the one who delivers, the only Saviour of sinners. So we come to you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have a final hymn together, which reminds us that God's work of grace in our hearts means we're not speaking of ourselves, but of Christ who works in us by his power. Let's pray together then. Lord, we ascribe all glory, praise, majesty, might, dominion to our great Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we seek to live for him, we acknowledge freely tonight that it is not by any works of righteousness that we have done, by Jesus Christ alone, that we are accepted before God, our great Father in heaven. And as we seek to live for Christ in this dark world in which we live, we see around us many evidences of the way in which Satan, by deceit and darkness, would lead people to death, destruction, and despair. So teach us what it means to live for Christ, not by our own strength, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, through Christ living in and through us. May we make this great Saviour known and the good news about him to men and women everywhere. Living for Christ, yet not I, but through Christ in me. O Lord, help us by your grace. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, even not only tonight, but forevermore. Amen.